shepherd is a participle, actually, in the text. And it actually means that the Lord is the one who goes on shepherding us. That, you know, he's just not our shepherd for a little while. He's just not a shepherd who stops at some point. But the Lord is the one, David said, who goes on shepherding us. And what a powerful concept that is, because there'll never be a time that if you are a child of God, that there'll never be a time when the Lord won't be your shepherd.
Welcome to In Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Yahweh Rohi, The Lord is My Shepherd, from our series, The Names of God. So Dr. Glaze for the first half of Yahweh Rohi.
Greetings, saints. It's good to be with you on the second week of this series that we're doing on the names of God. Last week, we kind of gave the introduction, and we talked about Moses at the burning bush, and when God called him to deliver the people, the Hebrew people, out of Egyptian bondage, and Moses asked the question, who should I say sent me? And God said, tell them that I am. And we talked about that word, I am, last week. How that is the self-existence of God. That is God, as we use the expression, he's God all by himself. That he doesn't need anything else outside of himself to exist. That God said that he is the I am. And so we started out by introducing that last week. Now this week we want to get into some a specific name of God. And this specific name of God that we're going to look at today comes out of Psalm 23 and verse 1, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that word shepherd is the word rohi, and it means that the Lord is the one who takes care of us. The Lord is the one who tends to us. The Lord is the one who looks to us like a sheep, like a shepherd would look over the sheep. And notice now, the power of that word Yahweh. And, you know, we talked a little bit why we're going to use the word Yahweh and not Jehovah. But we see that Yahweh is the sacred name of God, whereas Jehovah was a name that was and I can say this and not speak irreverently. But it was a name that was concocted in the 17th century by putting some consonants and putting some vowels together, and they came up with the word Jehovah. But that word Yahweh has been the existent one from the beginning. And so David, he wants to compare the way the shepherd takes care of the sheep, and he wants to compare that's the way that God takes care of his people. And so he pulls on this sacred name, this righteous name, this holy name, this self-existent name, the name of Yahweh. He pulls that name Yahweh down and he couples it with the word Rohi, which means shepherd. And I like the idea because, you know, as we look at the verbiage that's used in Psalm 23 and verse 1, actually what David is saying is because that is many of us who struggle with English in high school and college, you know, we might not understand this concept of a participle. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I know I struggle with that until, you know, I started studying it, just breaking down those specific parts of speech. But the word shepherd is a participle, actually, in the text. And it actually means that the Lord is the one who goes on shepherding us. That, you know, he's just not our shepherd for a little while. He's just not a shepherd who stops at some point. But the Lord is the one, David said, who goes on shepherding us. And what a powerful concept that is, because there'll never be a time that if you are a child of God, that there'll never be a time when the Lord won't be your shepherd. And there's never a time when he's more of a shepherd than at other times. Now, there might be times where he does more, but he's always the shepherd that watches over us. Now, before we actually get into this 23rd Psalm, there are some powerful concepts that are here. As a matter of fact, we see allusions to the names of God in the 23rd Psalm. And so I just because, you know, I really, when I saw this, it kind of jumped out at me, and I really wanted to point this out. You know, we looked at all the names of God last week, right? Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Shammah. You know, we looked at those names and kind of gave a brief overview of those names. But look at how the concept of these names are embedded in the 23rd Psalm. The first thing we see, Yahweh Jireh, and that means the Lord will provide. Remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and he was about ready to plunge that knife into him, and there was a ram caught in the bush, and Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. And so when we look at the 23rd Psalm, notice this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What aspect of God's character does that reflect? That reflects Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. The fact that God provides and we shall not want. That things might get a little difficult, things might get a little rough. You know, I've heard a lady was talking to a seminary student who was dealing with some financial struggles and trying to have a hard time making things ends meet. And she said, sometimes God gives you a string and he lets you get all the way down to the end of that string. And then he ties another one on. That's Yahweh Jireh. That's the God who provides. And then we see that in verse 2, there is Yahweh Shalom. And that word Shalom means peace. The Lord our peace. Notice what it says here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look at those two concepts of peace. Green pastures. Oh, it must be refreshing to the sheep on a hot summer day to be led to a place where there's shade, to be led to a place where there's coolness, and to lie down in the green pastures. And when I get into the song this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit more, go into a little more depth about this peace that God gives us. But also notice that he leads them where? Not to the running waters, not to the rushing waters, but he leads them to the still waters. That's the peace. Yahweh Shalom. And then we see that he is Yahweh Rapha, and that is the God who heals. And it says that he restores my soul, that God is in the restoration business, that when we are sick, that when we are, and we look at this COVID that we're dealing with now, and we see a lot of people are dealing with illness. And we don't know if God is going to heal them or not. But one of the things that we know, oh, praise God, one of the things that we know, that he has the power to heal. And why? Because he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, that he restores, that God is in the restoration business. And then Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. What did the psalmist say? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads us down the right paths. We see that he's Yahweh Sabaoth. That's the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies. That's what that word Sabaoth means, hosts, armies, that God is the one who fights the battle for us. What did the psalmist say? His rod and his staff, they protect me. So the psalmist was reflecting the fact that God is the one who fights our battles. And then the last thing that I want to say that we see embedded in this psalm is Yahweh Shammah. And that is the Lord who is near. That word Shammah means present, or the one who is near, that that God is near us. And what did the psalmist say in the 23rd Psalm? He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? What is the house of the Lord? The house of the Lord represents the presence of God. Wow. And the psalmist says that I'm going to be in God's presence on this earth, and that when I depart from this earth, I'm going to the location, heaven, and I'll be in the manifest presence of God where all his glory is manifest. So isn't it something how that we can see those things embedded in this 23rd Psalm? We see the names of God embedded in the 23rd Psalm. But let me break the Psalm down, and I'm going to share with you 6 points, and then we'll be done. The first thing that I want to say is that you can ask yourself the question that when the sheep have a shepherd, what does that mean to them? You know, just think that the sheep realize that as long as they have a shepherd, that they're going to be provided for. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that they're going to be protected. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that they are going to be guided and directed. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that they are going to be fed. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that things are going to be taken care of. And so, my brothers and sisters, what I want us to think about as we think about Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. What do we have? What do you have? If you sit there and ask today, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you say that I got a shepherd. You say that the Lord is my shepherd. Well, what does that mean? What does that amount to? You know, and you know, the blessing is that, you know, we don't have to look anywhere else in Scripture to find out what that means, because he tells us right here what it means when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so the first thing that we have when the Lord is our shepherd, we have divine provision. Divine provision. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's almost like David is sticking out his chest and he's bragging. He's looking at all the nations around him that are worshiping the stars, that are worshiping the moon, that are worshiping the sun, that's worshiping agriculture, that's worshiping the river, that's worshiping the sea. And David sees all these false gods being worshiped, and David shouts out, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, that's something to brag about. You know, we read in other places in the Bible that people worship gods of stone and of wood that can do nothing. That we serve the true and the living God. And David said, Yahweh, Yahweh, this great I am. And he couples that with the word shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not begin to lack any good thing that I need. You know, sometimes you might think that you have needs and you wonder how you're going to make it from day to day. You may wonder how you're going to make it from paycheck to paycheck. Let me tell you something. If the Lord is your shepherd, he got your back. The Lord got your back. I've shared the story before about when my kids were growing up. I took two of my kids into the 7-Eleven to get drinks. And they wanted some fountain drinks, and I wanted something else. So they got their drinks, and they went back out to the car. And I got what I was coming there for, and I had given them the money to pay for their drinks. And so I came to the register, and the guy said, that'll be so-and-so, so-and-so. And I knew it didn't cost that much. And I said, how come you're overcharging me for this? I said, I know that those drinks that my kids bought didn't cost that much. He said, yeah, but there was one little boy that came in here. He got something more than a drink, and he didn't have enough money. But he said to me, you see that guy over there? That's my dad. And when he comes to the register, he'll take care of it. And isn't that the way God is? Isn't that the way God is? That even when we come up short, even when we lack, God is there to provide for us. God is there to make sure we get what we need. The Lord is my shepherd. And I like the way, as we read in the Hebrew, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not begin to lack any good thing. I shall not even begin to lack. So what do we have when the Lord is our shepherd? We have divine provision. The second thing that we have when the Lord is our shepherd, we have divine peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look at those two peaceful scenarios, green pastures and still waters. You know, if you think about our day sometimes when we deal with kids, right? When we deal with people on our job, when we deal with traffic, when we deal with actually doing the things on our job that we're supposed to do, what is it like? It's like rush, 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 right? It's rush, rush, rush. You know, now we got to rush to get our kids to school. You know, we got to rush to make sure that they get picked up. You know, and so our lives sometimes can consist of rushing. And so in this rushing, you know what that's like? That's like going to a river and saying, okay, well, let me see if I can get some time in for the Lord, right? Let me see if I can spend a little time with the Lord in the midst of all this rushing. And so what do? We go down to get a drink only to find out that the drink is coming from a river. And we're trying to lap the water. We're trying to take the water in our mouth. And all the time, the river is rushing, hitting us in our eyes, hitting us in our head. And we can't even get a good drink because all this rushing that's going on. But what does God do? God says what? Slow down. Slow down. Be still. And know that I'm God. And then as we slow down and as we come into his presence, what does he do? He leads us to the quiet waters. He leads us to the still waters where we can come to the still waters and we can drink until our soul is satisfied. We can drink until we, you know, what's that one song say? Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. And when we come to God in those quiet times, not in those rushing times when the river is raging, but we come where he leads us to those still, quiet waters, and we can drink till our soul is satisfied. And we can get up with restoration in our soul. We can get up with peace in our soul. And Lord, we know that no matter what goes on around us, you know, everything is going to be all right. You know, I'm talking, and you know, saints, y'all know I don't get political, right? So I stay away from politics. But just in me talking to people, you know, on one side, you know, people are concerned. Man, if so-and-so gets in, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And on the other side, people are concerned, you know, if so-and-so gets in and that group of people get in, then this is going to happen. But you know what? I got a peace. I mean, I'm going to study the candidates. You know, I'm going to see who lines up with the scripture. You know, I'm going to do all that. But in the end, when all is said and done, oh, I'm getting ready to preach now. I'm getting ready to preach. No matter who's in there, God is still on the throne. God is still in control. So I'm going to do my due diligence now. I'm not neglecting my responsibility and my diligence. But in the end, I got a peace. That God is still on the throne and that he raises one up and he sets another down. And that promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east, but promotion comes from the Lord. And so, saints, we need to have a peace about no matter what happens in life situations, no matter what happens in life circumstances. In the 46th Psalm, it's so, though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the rivers swell, though the mountains shake, And so in Psalm 46, you know, it talks about all the devastating situations in life, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, all that. And it says that in the midst of all that, that from the throne of God, that there's a river that flows through all that turmoil. And you know what it says? That river is undisturbed. That river is still at peace. Why? Whew. Because God is in the middle of the river. God is in the river. And saints, if we get in the river where the peace of God is, no matter what breaks loose around us, that we can still have the peace of God. And what do you have when the Lord is your shepherd? You've got divine provisions. You've got divine peace. And then the third thing, you got divine providence. And what does that say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I like that word providence. It comes from two words, the word pro and video. And what does it mean? It means to see before. Ooh. God, he sees before us. And what does he do? He leads us in the path of righteousness. God is not going to lead us down the evil way. God is not going to lead us down the wicked way. But if we put our hand in God's hand, if we hold on to his unchanging hand, that the Lord will lead us in the path of righteousness. That's divine providence. Like I said, I like that word, pro and video, that God sees before. He sees the road. And he can make the crooked places straight, and he can make the rough places smooth. He leads us in the path of righteousness. That if I, again, if I hold on to his hand, God's unchanging hand, that he's going to guide me down the path of righteousness. And all I need to do is realize that, Father, you're my shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. Sometimes I don't know which way to go. Lord, sometimes I don't know which road to travel. Lord, sometimes I don't know which highway to pick. But you know, Lord, and I'm trusting you to guide me and direct me, because just like the sheep, the shepherd leads the sheep through the fields. The shepherd leads the sheep through the valley of darkness. The shepherd leads the sheep along the cliffs and the hillsides. The shepherd leads them and he guides them to that place where he wants them to go. Divine providence. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I like this fourth thing, and that is what I call divine protection. Divine protection. And this is a verse that I was praying. My wife has a niece, in her late 40s. And she is in a hospital and on a ventilator. And they told, my wife texted me and said at 3 o'clock, they're going to take her off the ventilator. And you know, it just grieves my heart. And I had the opportunity to talk to her. My wife had the opportunity to talk to her. And we made sure of her salvation. You know, we made sure that she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so when my wife texted me to say they're going to take her off the ventilator, you know, I had texted her back a prayer. And in the prayer, I said that even though she's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's where she's at right now, right? As a matter of fact, there's 2 hours difference, so they haven't taken her off yet. But when they take her off, you know, she's going to be walking through what? The valley of the shadow of death. And I pray that, you know, as she goes through the valley of the shadow of death, that God would walk with her. God would counsel her. God would give her...
Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.